This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room. Just one more talk, which we're going to squeeze in today. And what we're looking at the moment is just ideas of what subjects and what themes to tackle in the Christian War Room. We need to find out what our enemy is getting up to, and that is the whole concept of the War Room. That is what they sort of try to find out in the war. For example, Bletchley Park, that's where this whole thing comes from. So that's was some sort of spy point where information and communication of the enemy was collected and cracked, decrypted, and then put forward to the powers in charge to try and decide what they can do. So that is what the Christian War Room is all about. Now, from a Christian perspective, there's a lot of stuff which sets itself up against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is talking about this. We need to identify what this information is, and we need to go against it. And in this talk, or in this series of talks, we're just looking at some of the ideas. And what I would sort of suggest to you to go for is maybe to pick up on some of these things which are mentioned in these series about the Christian War Room, and to just flow with it, you know, to get a think tank together, to, you know, get information about what the world is really talking about, what they are thinking about, and then to present a Christian perspective and to try and propagate it into this world. And obviously, ideally, to stick in the gospel and to let people know that there is a way out, and this way is Jesus Christ. Okay, we were talking about a lot of subjects before, like evolution, flat earth, the whole UFO thing. I'm going to look at different religions as well now. One of the biggest challenges we've got maybe in the last sort of 20 years, possibly 30 years, is Islam. Islam has raised its ugly head, and it's very, very strong. Very into our faces, and it's attacking Christianity as well, and they're doing a very good job in attacking Christianity. What you see is that they've got a lot of debaters, and they invite ideally Christians who are fairly weak in their apologetics, and they sort of attack the foundation of our Christian faith. So the things they love to attack us is the divinity of Christ. You know, is Jesus God or is he not God? And then they come up with all these, arguments they try and produce. They attack the death of Christ. They don't believe that Jesus died on a cross. Quran is quite clear about this. Somebody else died instead of him. They attack the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. To them, it's complete nonsense. And so what we find is a lot of elementary stuff within Christianity. You know, if you take this away from the Bible, you may as well forget about the whole thing. These are attacked by Islam. And we need to stand up against it. There's no question about it. What's been happening for a long time is that Islam or Christianity has been very defensive, yeah. So we've been sort of nicey-nice, and we went along and we said, oh, you know, you can't do this, and you shouldn't be attacking us in this way. And then we tried to get our 10 arguments out why we are right after all. What's not been happening very far is we've never taken Islam frontal. And they come up with ideas, you know, that the Quran is eternal, that it's unchanged, that it's got to be read in Arabic, that it's unique, and so on. And there are now a few guys who have done a lot of studies within Islam, a few Christian guys. One of them is Jay Smith. Another one is David Wood. Just try and remember these names. So if you're listening to this talk via the radio, you can go to christianwarroom.com. And this talk should be talk number 27. Talk number 27. And just look for it on the website in the audio section for talk number 27, and then you can pick out those names again. So we've got Jay Smith and David Wood. There's another guy called, he's gone with the Lord now. He's an ex-Muslim. He's Nabil Qureshi. He's another one who is who's done a lot of work within this area. As far as the jihadism is concerned and what is going on, we've got a lot of political correctness which tries to sweep all this stuff under the carpet. There's another guy called Robert Spencer, and he's got a website which is called jihadwatch.org. It gives you a pretty good idea of what is going on in the world of terrorism and how much terrorism is Islamic inspired. And the big question, obviously, is why is this the case? And when you look at the book, when you read the Quran, it doesn't take you a long time to understand. The Quran has got this concept that it is the ultimate and the last revelation, and that the authority of the Quran has to be pushed through using violence and subjugation. And that is pretty much then endorsed through the Hadith, which is commentary on the Quran, and they've got weak and strong Hadith and so on. And so it's all come together. Okay, what are the points of attack within Islam? These guys are really strong apologetics. I mentioned it earlier in one of the talks. There's the big problem that the Quran endorses the Torah and the Injil. So the Torah is the Old Testament, or parts of the Old Testament, and the Injil is the Gospels. Now, the Gospels contradict the Quran, because the Gospels are quite clear that Jesus died on the cross, that the shedding of his blood was for the forgiveness of our sins. Very clear. The Quran denies it and says, no, Jesus didn't die on the cross. Somebody else died instead of him, and God took Jesus and put him away, and he didn't have to suffer a thing. But then we've got the madness of, why should God deceive us for 600 years and just tell us a lie, pretending that Jesus died on the cross when he really didn't die on the cross until Muhammad came in 620-something to tell us that we got it all wrong for the last 600 years, and really we need to rewrite history. That's pretty much what he's telling us. Now, the answer is obvious. The source of the Islam is a force which doesn't like the idea that Jesus died for our sins, and it doesn't take a long time to figure out where this source is and where this is coming from, what the origin of this knowledge is. And it's not the knowledge of God. I mean, Paul said, you know, even if an angel of light came and preached a different gospel to the one I've preached to you, cursed be he. So all we can deduct now is, when we use the Bible, which is endorsed by the Quran, is that cursed is whoever has been preaching the Quran and whoever has been coming up with these stories in the Quran. These are cursed creatures. Big dilemma. There's a lot of other stuff as well where we can disprove the Quran. One of them is that the Muslims who say that the Quran is the eternal word of God, this current compilation is from 1910, I think, and it's a so-called Cairo Quran. If you buy a Quran in different parts of the world, you can actually find that there are differences in the Arabic, and some of the differences are quite severe. When you look at the historical critical analysis of the text, they're really horrendous stories. I mean, there's no text which goes back to the 6th century. The only text we have, complete texts, there's a difference of about 100 to 200 years between the original, or when it's supposed to have been compiled, and the first copies, written copies. And there are not many of them about either. And those copies which are there today, there are big differences to what we have today in the Cairo edition of the Quran. Again, I'm just repeating, I'm not a scholar, I'm just repeating what apologists like Jay Smith and David Wood and Nabil Qureshi and Robert Spencer, what they've come up with. For us, it's important. We need to be prepared. We need to also have the arguments ready to try and oppose when we are, as Christians, are verbally attacked by Muslims and put into a corner by them. And the thing is, what Islamic scholars are very good at is creating arguments, and sort of trying to own the debate. They're really, really good at that. And we as Christians are actually quite poor at that as well. So we need to really wise up to see what the fallacies are of the Quran, to be able to defend the Bible and the authenticity of the Bible, and then to be able to defend the pillars of our faith. And the pillars of our faith are very straightforward, and this is, who God is, who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit, you know, who the Godhead is, and also the concept of salvation and justification, that salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and that through that we are justified. And that's very, very important. That's a pillar of our faith. They have demolished this pillar and gotten rid of it, and we need to stand for this. Okay, so that is Islam. We've got about 20 minutes left. So the next thing which we should tackle in our war room are cults, yeah, and Christian cults as well. So we've got the Jehovah's Witnesses, and very, very similar. They doubt the divinity of Christ. You know, for them, Jesus Christ was the archangel Michael. And when you look at the logic they have, there's like one verse which is here, and then they take this from there and from there to that, and then they come to the conclusion that Jesus is no longer God. Yeah. And then you've got, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, you've got these verses as well. So they have to rewrite them in the Bible, and they put a little word, God, in there, which you don't find in Greek. Again, we need to tackle these guys as well. We need to know what they are teaching, and we need to know the truth as well to oppose them in words. Yeah. I've got a couple of friends, colleague of mine is a Jehovah's Witnesses. I really love the guy. He's a good guy, very helpful, very nice guy. And, when I see what he does for his religion, and when I see what I do for the truth I've got in Jesus Christ, it puts me to shame. You know, they're really hardworking, humble guys. And as I said, it puts me to shame. But the sad thing is they are believing a lie. And they've been sold a lie. And and we need to, obviously not destroy them, but we need to be able to own the conversation and to present the truth to them. So again, it's a war room time. We need to find out, what do these guys believe? And there's a lot of stuff out there. There are a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses who have produced a lot of stuff. And also we need to know how to present the truth to these guys. It's war room time. This is stuff you can do in your war room. Maybe create little scripts. If the Jehovah's Witnesses are very active, knocking on doors, get a script together. They've got the watchtower. Why don't you get your youth to analyze what these guys are saying, and then to oppose them with true scripture, to present the truth and produce a leaflet which you can hand out to everybody in your church. And so next time somebody knocks on the door, instead of kicking them out, invite them in, give them a cup of tea, and then start presenting the truth to them. And who knows, maybe you can win some of them over, and you can let them see that there is hope, and that there is truth, and that there is true salvation, which is not based on works, on having to work yourself into the ground. We've got other Christian cults as well. We've got the Mormons. And the Mormons, the divinity of Christ is, Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. And, there's a planet Coulomb, and you can be your own god, and you can have your own planet, and you can have lots of wives, and you've got eternal wives. And there's a lot of very, very strange stuff which which comes from the Mormons. And again, we need to try and understand it. I mean, not maybe the intricate things. There's a lot of stuff to go through. But we need to try and understand what these guys really believe. And that is not just a warm feeling in the bosom which would get you there. But that these guys are misled, that they've been bypassing the truth, and that they're on their way to hell. So we need to understand this, and we need to understand their doctrine as well. Okay, there are a lot of other Christian cults as well. There's a word faith movement, and it gets a little bit more complex because they are very, very close to the truth, but they are preaching stuff which is not biblical, and it can shipwreck somebody's faith. It can really cause big problems into people's lives. So it's important, again, for us to realize what are these word faith people preaching. Another term for that might be the prosperity gospel. You know, what are these guys teaching? And what does the Bible actually say about this? What does the Bible say about money? and let me just tell you, the Bible is not very positive about money. It's not very positive about money. It makes a strong point. It warns of getting rich. And again, we should maybe within our churches go to the war room and analyze what these guys are saying. Who are the people behind this gospel? And the biggest problem is we find them on God Channel. We find them on Christian television all the time. So our brothers and sisters, they go home, they turn on Christian television, and then they're there, you know, preaching into the living room. And if we can sort of forewarn them and let them know, you know, what is the basis of their doctrine and the basis of what they're talking about, it may help to stop them from falling for the lies which are propagated by these ministries. We've got other stuff as well. We've got dominionism, yeah, which is this idea that Christianity will become stronger and stronger and eventually we'll be ruling the world and we'll do this. And ideas and concepts are preached by Rick Warren, for example. Again, you know, everybody looks up to him. He's purpose-driven life and all this, big books and big boasts as well. But when you really look behind the scenes, we've got big problems at the same time, and it's not really aiming to what the Bible has got to say. I haven't read the book, I have to say, but I've heard him talk about the book, and I've heard him talk about what he's aiming for, and it really, really worries me, because we are not here on earth to create a paradise for everybody. And this is a little bit what he's coming. He says, oh, I work with anybody, you know, with Muslim, with non-Christians and so on. And we can work together and dig wells and make life better for everybody else. We're not really called for that. We are called to preach the gospel to all creation and to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, you know, to all nations. That is really the job we are called about. I heard once one guy saying, maybe a little bit too extreme, I think it's Jacob Fresh, I'm not sure. Anyway, one guy was saying, and he said, you know, look, I'm not called to feed the pagans. Yeah, that's not my commission. That's not the commission we have been given. And he said, look, you know, if somebody comes to me and he's hungry, you know, I'll give him to eat and I'll give him the gospel. And if he doesn't accept the gospel, it's the last time I've been feeding him. And if I feed him and he accepts the gospel, then, you know, the Bible says that God is going to meet all of our needs, that he'll be looking after him. And again, it's a little bit radical, you know. Basically, he says, you know, stuff the poor, preach the gospel, and if they don't want to take it, tough on them, you know, let them die in their sins. And it might be a little bit radical, but I thought to myself, the guy's got a point. You know, we are not called to fix this world. This world is sold under sin. There are very bad systems in this world. There are systems which are, you know, poised to destruction and to real big problems. But we need to recognize this. We need to recognize what is going on in this world. And then in contrast, we need to you know, to preach the gospel, to get people out of this world, to get them into the kingdom of God, to lead them to, let me use this term, to a different dimension where suddenly it's no longer they and themselves, but it's God looking after them and interjecting, impacting their lives, interjecting the wisdom of God and the miraculous sustenance of God into their lives. And again, there may be something to it where we need to get this and take this to our war room and highlight this stuff. Look at what these guys are preaching. Look at people like Rick Warren. Look at the emerging church movement. Look at the word faith movement. Look at Christian cults, you know, especially if they are near where we are, and analyze what they are doing. What are they teaching? You know, how do they get people in? And then obviously, get out there, warn people, and present the truth to them. Okay. We've got deception in the church. There's a lot of it going on, and it's more than ever before. Interesting as well is we had the Protestant movement, and there was a very strong focus on the Bible. If you get some literature from the 1800s, some of it is so deep. But then the other thing which started in the 1800s as well is we had a lot of splinter movements, and we had a lot of cults emanating from this period of time. And it seems that a lot of it is around today. And it's very, very disturbing as well. Jesus told us, for example, in one instance that many people will come in his name and say that I'm he, you know, that they are Jesus Christ returned. And it's not been happening. Yeah. He said this in Matthew 24, read the scripture. And it's not been happening for about 1800 years. Nothing was happening. And then suddenly sort of the 1850s started happening more and more and more. Google Messiah claimants or people who claim to be Jesus Christ returned. And then look at the list, and it's quite scary how many people are out there who seriously claim that they are Jesus Christ returned. And they sometimes have got a great following. They've got very dedicated people following them, and all these people are following is just a lie. And it's a big, big problem. So you're looking at dozens of people with a big following. Some of them have died already. There's Jesus de Miranda. He has died a few years ago. Again, I don't want to be in his shoes when he stands before the real Jesus. There's Sergei Torop in Russia, in Siberia. He claims to be Jesus Christ returned. He has written the Last Testament, big book, and he just dresses like Jesus, runs around like Jesus. He's got his following. And the guy is a nutcase. Yeah. It's no other way to put it, but people worship him as God incarnate. Crazy, absolutely crazy. There's a guy in the Philippines who is claiming to be Jesus Christ. There's a guy in South Africa. He's got a small following. There are quite a few guys in Britain who are most likely put down as being a little bit eccentric or slightly crazy. But again, there are guys, I mean, the Jesus de Miranda, if you stumbled into his church, it would just look like a charismatic church and, the worship just like in a charismatic church. And eventually you latch onto it that they are worshiping not the Jesus Christ you and I worship, but that they worship a Jesus Christ who is running around, Jesus de Miranda. Now, he has died now, and I'm not quite sure what's happened to his church. I would imagine that it tends to be the end of a movement. He claimed that he would not see death until the end of the world has come, but obviously he did. He died. I think he had some liver problem or something. Too much good living. Okay, let's have a look at some of the things we can look at. okay, I'm just looking at my list. As I say, there are probably about 50 items on there. And we haven't got much time. We are sort of slowly coming, just a few minutes left. Okay, let me just go through the stuff which you could pick up in your war room and you could look at. And one of them is Islam and pretty much other religions as well. Maybe Hinduism is maybe an interesting religion to look at as well, and to look at Buddhism and other religions. I've had a friend of mine who has joined a Buddhist monastery. The problem was he likes burgers too much, and so he had to nip out to McDonald's to eat a beef burger because he couldn't hack the vegetarian diet they were given, and the times of fasting and things like that. But again, look into it. Study what these religions are saying. Yeah. And again, when you've got talks with these people, many of them are really, really good in arguing their case and also opposing Christianity. So it's important for us to understand what they believe. There are cults, there are tons of Christian cults out there. Some of them are very dangerous. And again, try and open your ears and eyes and understand what cults are out there. And again, sort of always go back to the Word of God. Always go back to the Word of God and base your faith on what you can find in the Bible and measure everything against the Bible. Avoid personalities. There are a lot of big personalities on TV who are giving us a lot of rubbish and leading us astray. We've got the Word Faith movement, the Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, and so on. So these movements, which are pretty much, you know, name it, claim it. Again, it's a wrong concept. It's not a biblical concept. And you have to be very, very careful when you look at these movements, because ultimately they are drawing you away from a genuine relationship with God. We've got dominionism, yeah, which is quite strong as well. Okay, and this pretty much leads us to the end of our talk. Something for the war room to take on. You can go to christianwarroom.com. This is going to be talk number 27. You can pick up on some of the names I've mentioned, possibly some of the subjects as well. I would really encourage you to dig in and to see what is going on there in this world. You know, the cults which are out there, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, etc. And see what they believe, and then go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. It's a lot of work to do this. It's a lot of work to put stuff together. If people of different cults are active in your region, you can maybe create some pamphlets. You can create some messages for social media. Maybe just a broken down explanation of what these guys believe and what the Bible says, to just simplify the whole matter and make it easy for people to follow what is going on. So anyway, very, very important stuff, and I really want to encourage you to pick this up for your war room. We're going to carry on with these talks. As I said, I've got a list of about, I think it's about 50 items or something to go through, and maybe to pick up some of them and to create good apologetics, to create good materials on this stuff and to deal with that, to oppose whatever is happening in this world. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the truth. We pray that, Lord, that you will lead us into all truth. We pray for truth to come into our lives, convict us of all the wrong stuff that is prevalent in our lives, and lead us into the very simple truth as it is revealed by your word. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the ability to pass this truth on to others and to rescue others from great error and from destroying their lives and following lies. We pray, Father, for that you will help us, Lord, and that you will guide us, and that we will be able to find the good and the right way. Help us, Lord, on dealing with people who are heavily deceived and who do not know anymore which way to turn. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.